This is the Ed Milet Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Today is very special for me because there's two people that I love very, very much here today. And I've not shown each of them very much on my social media over the years just because I wanted to give them privacy and anonymity themselves if they wanted it. But so many of you have asked over time, tell us more about your family, what that's like, and your kids, and what's it like to grow up to be a Milet, lessons learned in our family, different stuff maybe we've not shared before. And I look at our audience as an extension of our family. And so I've asked my children to be here today. So welcome to the show, Max Milet and Bella Milet. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
So it's great to have you. I love you guys.
Love you.
So people ask all the time what it's like to be in our family. I'm curious for you guys, what was it? What is it like to grow up in our family, or, you know, maybe a family that's had a little bit of financial success or whatever? What was that like growing up, Maximus?
Well, I would say it's a little bit different than what everybody would think it is, because for us growing up initially, we didn't really know kind of what the difference was versus other people, like kind of the whole spectrum from high school and college. It took a bit to figure out like how different the impact you were making and the wealth that you were accumulating basically over time.
You think it was, you think it was like hard to tell because we're just like any other family, right? I mean, there's no real, inside our family, we don't look at ourselves as any different than anybody else.
Yeah, no, we're just completely normal people.
Right.
Like, we don't see us different versus any other family, basically anywhere at school or anything like that.
What about you, Boo?
I mean, same thing. In the beginning, I like had no idea the difference between like if our family was any different than anyone else's. But I mean, it was definitely lucky to grow up like this and go on like nice trips, go to Cabo, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it always felt very normal. Like, it didn't feel like anything like, oh, we're super different than anyone else. It was like, it was just similar.
It still feels that way, doesn't it? I mean, I don't feel like, I mean, just the fact that we've been able to live in some nice places or do some cool stuff. I mean, we just, you know, it's, we're not any different in that sense. But I do think, you know, like, for example, you, Bella, maybe, well, Max, too. Both of you guys, even growing up, weren't you a little like, you didn't want to bring people over. You didn't want them to know that maybe we had a nice house or whatever. Why for each of you was that? Did you not, you didn't want people to like you for that reason? Or like, why? Because there was a long time, both of you were like, you know what, I'm meeting my friends at the beach, but not the beach, not at our house. You go like to another beach. Why, Boo?
I don't know. I think it was kind of like I didn't want people to know that my family had money, so they would look at me differently, kind of. And like almost in the way of like other kids, if you had money, would kind of look at you and be like, oh, like she must be like a stuck up type of person or something like that. And I kind of wanted my friends to just like me and not be like, oh, she lives in like Laguna Beach, like we should go to her house. Like I was like, didn't want that to happen.
What about you?
I would say it's kind of the same thing. When you grow up kind of like how we did, sometimes people can make like judgments about you right before actually getting to know you. So if they kind of know like who you were, like I've had people that come up to me and then I've had friends that have not known you at all and then eventually found out. And the way they treat you and like how they talk to me is completely different.
How? How's it different?
Well, some people will be like, oh, your dad's Ed Milet. Can he sign my book? Can I ask him a couple questions? I even had someone ask if they wanted to like stay a couple of days just so they could talk to you. Versus I have some friends that just grew up like they're just normal people. And I was just talk to them and then they found out. They built relationships with you kind of like a normal way. I think that's been good for them too, but like they didn't, they weren't friends with me just to like for money or to get to know you. They were actually just genuine friends.
Yeah. Do you, because I don't know. I mean, I feel like you guys, even to this day, like we function very normally. Like neither one of you have spent lots of money. Neither one of you have like really great cars. Bella.
I bought her. She's a good car.
She bought her car, but it's not a car you'd think some little rich little girl has, right? She's not driving around in a Mercedes or a BMW or anything like that. She paid for it.
She's cute. She's cute.
She's cute. And even in your case, you drive my old truck.
Yeah, it's your truck.
You drive an old truck that I had. So I don't, you know, we've done a pretty good job of that stuff. Do you, either you feel any like pressure coming from a you know, I don't know, like a family that's, you know, made some impact or anything like that. Is there any pressure that comes along with that or you just discard that altogether?
I don't, I mean, maybe a little bit of pressure just being like, oh, wow, like I want to end up successful as well. But I think it's more of like motivating, being able to actually like see someone in your life that's like one of the most important people do so well and do so much. it's like, wow, like I want to do a lot instead of just like seeing someone from afar and like having an idol. It's like, you're with this person every day. You live with them. It's like super motivating.
And you know how screwed up I am and weird I am.
Yeah. Well, no. And that too, it's like, we see the side of you that's not like, oh, he's like killing it and going on trips. Like we see him like waking up at like 6 a.m. sitting on the couch, like drinking coffee with like singing to the dogs. Like,
yeah. No, I think that's really important for people to know. Like there's not some robot there. Like I have good mornings and bad mornings. I'm in a good mood and a bad mood. I'm some days I'm motivated, inspiring. Sometimes I'm kind of a jerk, right? Like there's this.
Well, it's like some mornings it's like anytime I leave the house, like you're yelling at me, like make today a great day. Like me and my friends are waking up from a sleepover and you're like yelling like today's gonna be great, and then but there's also days where it's like you're just drained and tired and being yourself.
By the way, when she says yelling, she means yelling motivational things.
Like, yeah, not like you're screaming. A superstar. Yeah. Yeah, no, like you got this, go kill it. And I'm like, it's 7 a.m.
But you used to roll your eyes a lot when I did that. Do you think it was good? Like if you were talking to parents listening to this, do you think that was a good thing to send you? Like, hey, you're a superstar. Was that actually, even though you're rolling your eyes, is that a good thing?
Like even though I'd like play it off and be like, oh my god, like shut up, dad. Right. It was like, that's nice to hear in the morning. Like I don't know. Some like it's nice to grow up and have like affirmation when some kids don't grow up. Yeah. Getting that from my parents.
Yeah. Oh, would she? I say, you're a leader.
Yeah.
Lead, so you say to me, hugs, not drugs.
Rachel and I brought that up the other day, how every morning you were like, hugs, not drugs. Like, you got it.
What were you going to say, Max?
I was going to say, I remember growing up, you still do it a lot, but especially when I like stayed at home, wasn't in college every night. You'd be like, hey, you're a leader. You're a champion. You're the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And that kind of just built like a mindset in where it's like, I can do all these things. Like I can be a leader. I can be great. I can do all of these things and actually have some self-confidence.
Yeah. Do you feel pressure being the son of someone who's, you know, this is really weird tone. I don't mean for people to think that, I hope everyone understands this in the tone. We're just a normal family. Like we don't ever talk like this. Never, no, ever, never.
Not. What's it like to come from our family?
Oh, we've never talked about this.
Literally never. I mean, you're going off to college, Bella, Max. You're going to be a junior at college. We've never talked like this before. No. I hope that's important for everybody to know.
It's super weird.
It's super weird for us because for us, we're just a family. And for us, it's just like, you know, very normal every single day. And we don't look at ourselves, nor are we any different than any other family. But we're a public family now. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's a responsibility that comes with that. But for you, you know, being the son of someone who's, you know, made a little bit of a difference in the world or having some financial success, I've heard from your mom and from other people that sometimes you go, hey, I feel a little bit of pressure not to end up average and ordinary or anything like that.
Well, yeah, I think that's very true. And I can't speak for you, but for me, I feel like you've set a bar and a standard for me. And I think for Bella and everybody in our family, like our cousins, our aunts, uncles, everything. You set a bar that I feel like we have to meet, expectations that we have to meet. Obviously, you grow up and we're fortunate enough to even be in a podcast like this. I feel like there's certain things, certain standards that we have to hold to that most people don't have.
Well, maybe you'll take the show over someday too, as I get a little bit older. You know, have I made it clear to the two of you that I don't think what you do for a living has to necessarily bring money?
For sure.
100%.
For sure.
Yeah.
How have I done that?
I mean, you tell us like when we talk about like, oh, what are you going to do when you grow up? You're never like, you're always like, you could be like anything you want. You could be a vet. You could be like a nurse. You could be like a living on an island, renting canoes to people. Like you could do anything.
Yeah. Basically, you told us basically chase after what you love to do the most, because sometimes money can just come with that. Sometimes it doesn't. But if you love it enough, it's okay.
Yeah. And a lot of the people that I've told you a lot, the people that I know that are happiest in life, money is not part of that equation for them.
Yeah.
So what they love, what they do, they make a difference, they do that stuff.
Yeah. One thing I would ask you is when you were growing up, obviously, for I don't know if everybody knows this, but you play college baseball, like I'm a college golfer. Did you want to get more into money with that, or did you just want to become a professional just because you loved baseball?
I loved baseball. I didn't do anything even in business to make money. The truth is that even in the beginning of like my financial career, I remember in the apartment that I lived in back in the day, you didn't get automated deposit, right? You would get checks.
Yeah.
But like I had checks like stacked up on my dresser that I had not cashed yet that were about to expire. Not because I didn't need the money. I wasn't getting rich, but I was paying my bills and I was loving what I was doing. I was not doing it for money. I think when I came out of the orphanage, when I worked at McKinley, it became more like of a cause thing. I've really never consciously ever had any meeting where I'm like, oh, wow, I'm making this or I could make that. Even, you know, if I go speak or do anything or even like the show, I don't even know what I make from the show. I honestly don't know. People ask me all the time. I know there's advertisers. I know it's a lot of money, but I couldn't tell you how much. And I never think about that. I don't think about the rankings or the ratings often. I check them. hey, yeah. wow, we're first this month. You know, mm-hmm. I want more from a competitive standpoint
yeah.
than a financial standpoint. So for me, it was always that I wanted to compete and I liked what I was doing. I didn't like every single part of what I was doing, but in baseball, I just loved the game. You know, and then in business, most of the businesses I've had, I've loved, you know, most yeah. of them, I love most of what I'm doing, but I've also been, I've told you about this before. I'm willing to do things I don't want to do in order to be successful. I'm willing to do things I don't enjoy in order to be successful. I've been loved every part of every business I've had for sure. So yeah. What about you in golf?
I would kind of say it's the same thing. Like I just do it because I love the golf. I love the competition, as you kind of said with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know, some people joke like golf's not a sport or anything like that. Some people just go out just to have fun, not as much competition. Mm-hmm. And you did an interview with Zach Johnson before as well, and he kind of went into this too. He just loves to compete. Like I'll be out with my friends, my teammates, even family. We'll do like Monopoly. I will find every single way to try and win a Monopoly.
You cheat in Monopoly.
Yeah.
Let's just be completely honest.
Yeah,
let's call you that right here. It is messed up.
You completely cheats.
Me and Dad get screwed over every single time.
Bella and I play legal, ethical Monopoly, and you and your mom are constantly freaking cheating.
Interesting. Yeah. Last game, we actually ended up on top, and they both admitted to cheating.
Correct.
And we both, actually, the end, the only reason I beat you is because Max cheated and gave me all his money so you would lose.
Correct. But Max stole money from me in the middle of that Monopoly.
Max did it.
I didn't steal money. What you did is you gave me too much and I just didn't give you change back.
And you took $500 from me.
That would be
stealing. It wasn't until the next day because the game was long. You're like, hey, I got to let you know. At least you have some
honesty.
You know, well, I would say remorse for theft. But yeah, but Bella and I play it legitimately straight up. So,
and I want to mention that's only a Monopoly.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I don't know, Max.
I actually really, really doubt that.
Uno, come on.
Yeah, so Uno.
Okay, Uno's maybe the only other one.
See, like that's, people think, well, man, what, your family must really do a bunch of cool stuff. Yeah, actually, we basically sit around and play pretty much like board games and watch TV like everybody else. We don't take extravagant vacations or anything
even
like that.
Even if we are on vacation, we'll still
do those
like, we're just
things.
In Maine and we're like sitting every night playing Monopoly.
Yeah, it's actually really, really true. What do you want to ask me?
I want to ask you, what makes you kind of feel peace? Because you're always like going and you work in like chaos all the time. Yeah. Do you ever want like simpler life later on? Or do you want to keep, you know, the crazy?
Well, I think I find peace in doing the work. I think part of that I really, really love. You know, I like work a lot. But there's a part of me that knows when I'm burning out or I'm wearing down, probably right now between my book, the TV show, the podcast, all the businesses that I have, all the speaking, you guys getting ready to go off to college, friends, family, all the preparation that goes with all that stuff. You know, I'm definitely a little bit tired right now. So yeah, I do. There'll be a day where I won't go at this pace. And there's also times where I've paced myself. You guys probably don't remember, but when you were little, there were windows where I did take some breathers. You know, I was more of a sprinter back then. I would work really hard for, say, 90 days, and then I would, you know, shift gears down for a week or two or three. Not that I didn't work, but I've never been really good at just taking complete time off.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to take 3 weeks off. I'm on vacation. I don't really do that, but I definitely know how to downshift from fifth gear to like second or third when we do that stuff. And I did more of that when you were younger, as you guys started to become more independent and had your friends in your life. I was kind of like, all right, I'm going to shift back up again to like, you know, fifth gear again. And I've sort of stayed there, been idling really, really high for a while. So I'm a little bit fatigued on that.
Would you say for you, when you are doing all this hard work, do you find the peace kind of more in like the process of it? Like you actually physically doing the work, or do you think more of the result and the impact it has on people?
Those are two things. That's a great question. By the way, you guys could host the show. So, by the way, most people don't know this. Max was the editor of this podcast for the first year or so. So every show I did, most people don't know this, every show I did, I recorded on my laptop computer on a microphone and it was a mess. And then Max was the editor.
I had my giant iPad with some free editing software. I don't even know what it was called. Some just knockoff brand. And we would basically just sit down for like, what, like an hour or two, basically, depending on how long the interview
Sometimes
was.
Longer.
Sometimes longer. And I get to hear his voice on repeat for like 3 hours straight.
Yeah.
A lot of same clip.
And what did I pay you, just so you know, because he's a rich kid, supposedly. What did you get paid? Do you remember to do a show?
Depending on how long it was, I think it was over an hour. It was like $40 maybe, yeah. And then anything less, it was like,
I did one show and I got $20.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did the one, you got 20.
Actually, why did I get 20?
He got 20 for ones under an hour, yeah, and then he got 40 for ones that were an hour.
It was like an hour and a half.
Yeah, basically. But like those were like 3 and 4 hour deals. Yeah, you didn't get gypped. He got $20 a show for the most part. But what was cool about it was that you were learning from all of my guests. But most people, you know, probably would be surprised to know that, you know, what is really number one business and personal development show in the world, which is the show, started in my bedroom on a microphone, and my son was the editor. Yep. And we just edit over. And by the way, that software is really bad. So we go back and we're trying to get an out or trying to get a word out of there. We take 30 minutes. No, go back. Paste this sentence with that sentence. And we're getting mad at each other. And and that's how this thing started. And the other part of it too, because that should show you that can begin anywhere and to get your kids involved with stuff that you do. But I think, was it good for you though? I'll answer your question. But was it good for you to like listen to whoever's on back in those days? Tim Grover or Zach Johnson or Andy Frisell? Tony Robbins was one of the first ones.
He was
right?
One of the first ones too. I remember when we did that interview, you kept trying to say like this one and it was very fast paced and we just couldn't fix it.
Yeah.
But no, those interviews definitely changed me a lot. And I've even been able to connect with a couple of guys, Tim Grover as an example.
Yep.
He's been able to help me out a ton, kind of just with golf and the mental stuff, kind of just like how you have.
Yep.
Listening to that stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
It kind of has built like a subconscious thing where I kind of know how to react in certain situations where I kind of didn't really know that before.
Yeah. I definitely saw you start to change then.
Yeah.
I don't know. What were you, 14? Something like that, probably?
Yeah, like 14, 15.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I love the process of stuff. To me, there's a difference between the results and the impact. So results is like, okay, did it go well or go bad? You know, usually if like I do something that really goes well, I don't know that I enjoy it like you might think. Cause I'm sort of like, I could have done this better. I could go to the next thing, but impact I do love. And so the process I love, that gives me peace, and the impact. So like if I've given a talk or this show like this today, right? When we're done, I'll go, I should have said this. We could have done that. You know, I'm a shoulda, coulda person a lot in life where I want to be better. Cause that makes you grow. I don't think that's bad, but the impact it would make on someone listening to this, that part, that is why I do it. That's why I would give a speech. That's why I was in the real estate space, the financial space, any of the businesses that I've had. It's sort of for the impact. That part of it's super, super cool for me. So yeah, definitely. Boo, I'm curious for you. What's a good lesson? Because I think as a parent, a lot of stuff, and it could be your mom or I, either one of us, I think a lot of stuff as parents is like caught, not taught. Like you just catch stuff from people, right?
Oh, for sure.
What have you caught as a kid in our family that you think is something you would want your kids to catch someday, like behavior that you see?
I think honesty for sure. Mm-hmm. Like just seeing like, you know, there's things where it's like, we'll catch mom maybe like fibbing about something, or like, you know, mom's like, oh, if it's like about a sandwich or something, we didn't have like turkey, and like not telling someone. It's like just being like, just don't lie. Like there's no point. Just be honest.
Who's that? That's me saying that?
I mean, both of you. Like, yeah, mostly probably you saying that, being like, there's like, let's just be honest. Let's be real. Like we knew there wasn't any turkey.
She is right. You guys have been very honest with kind of just everything growing up. Like even if it's just business stuff, work, whatever it is, you've been very straightforward with us. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a real estate thing, I mean, sometimes you'll wait a tad to tell us, but then find out, you tell us all about it, you ask for our opinions. You kind of also would just bring us into your decisions sometimes. Like you made us feel like we had kind of a big say in a lot of the things, especially in the past, like what you've done financially, starting Instagram. Like I remember Boo and I were doing your posts, you didn't know what a hashtag was, you knew absolutely nothing, and we were trying to help you get the ball rolling. You kind of led us into everything.
Yeah, I thought it was hash browns. Most people don't know that, but when we first started on social media stuff, Max was my account manager. I actually referred to it as InstaFace because I didn't know what Facebook and Instagram was at first. And Tony Robbins had told me, you better post around breakfast time every single day. Be consistent, which I still do. I post everything on social media at 7:30 Pacific time every day. But I also thought it was, he said something about breakfast, and I heard him say, make sure you add hash browns.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know why you need to do this. So I'm like, the video has a plate of hash browns in front of me at breakfast time. I shoot the video that way because Tony told me that you should have hash browns and post at breakfast time. And then the video didn't get very many views at all. I got like 4 views and 1 like. And I called him and I go, look, this is not working what you told me to do with the hash browns at breakfast time. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about?
We had a fight about that too.
We had a big fight. I'm like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, why aren't we having hash browns in these videos? You're the social media manager, and he's Tony's like, you dumbass. It's not hash browns. It's hashtags.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, crap. And I'm like, what's a hashtag? He goes, I don't know. It's like a pound sign and a word. He didn't even know either. Like, you just put a pound sign on there with a word. I'm like, what is that? Why is that relevant? He goes, I don't know. It makes him find your video. So that's where we started, was with hash browns and InstaFace and you editing my podcast. So back to you, Bella Boo. There's questions from the audience for you, which is,
okay,
I think, pretty good. I want to know some of these things from you, actually. What are you worried about? So you're going to Clemson.
Yeah.
You're leaving.
By the way, people ask, why are you having them on the show now? Why are you sharing your kids? I've always tried to keep your privacy and anonymity for you, for the most part. I mean, I'll put you on there a little bit, and your mom.
Yeah.
But now you're grown-ups. You're leaving. And so it's probably time that, you know, you start to message the world a little bit. But you're going off to college. What is someone like you going off to college like? What are you excited about, and what are you worried about?
I'm excited for like a new phase in my life, and to like be able to try things, and kind of like, I feel like I'm at the age where I can start like dipping my toes in the water into like certain work things and like kind of what I want to do. On the opposite of that, like a little bit scary, like I don't know what I really want to do yet, but I'm excited just to like start figuring it out and like being independent too, living on my own, being away, like obviously far away from you guys, just kind of figuring out by myself.
Yeah.
But definitely a little scared of like, I don't know really what I'm doing yet, but I feel like I'm super ready and have like everything I need. Yeah. I think like I'm developed enough.
I think it's cool that you don't know what you want to do. I think a lot of young people listen to this, or people that have young people, I think that's the time of your life we should try a lot of different things and see what clicks, see what feels at home, see what you get passionate about, see what you're good at, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I want you to do. I want you to go there and try different things. Most people switch their major a couple different times. And if you do, great. If you don't, that's awesome too. It's even okay if you leave college and you don't know what you want to do. You just start doing different things until something lands. So, and in your case, Max, you're going to be a junior. You're playing golf. You know, was there a turning point for you in golf, which I know what it was, but was there a turning point for you? Because let's be honest, Max played a lot of sports when he was young, and he worked very hard at it, very hard. But I would think you would even agree with me that from a natural athleticism standpoint,
there's not a
Well, no, you are now. But when you were little, there other kids had more natural athletic ability than you, even in our own family, right? And so, where did it change for you? I know this answer, but you can tell a little bit.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of turning points where you could kind of say, like, it was a big shift. One of them was finding out that I actually need glasses. So I kind of get that from mom, the vision part.
Right, you need glasses.
Which,
that helped.
Yeah, that kind of was a big issue. But the second one, I would say, is there a specific golf tournament I played in. I think this is what you're thinking about. I was probably, what, like 10 or 11, you would say? And it was like a U.S. kids tournament. For those who don't know, it's just like a... Some of the tournaments are a big deal. Some of them aren't. But you were able to caddy for me in the tournament. And I was doing really bad. Like, I think we were like 10 shots behind, 12 shots behind. And you basically pulled me to the side in the back nine. It's like, you're not out of this. Control what you can. I want to help you out. And like, we're going to do this. And there's like three families. Like, and you are taking this so seriously. I'm trying to have fun. I don't know too much of the mental aspect yet. And you kind of, it was one of the first times where you really taught me kind of like, control what you can. Here's what we're going to do in a situation. You're going to get back in with some pressure, and you're going to learn how to grow through it.
Yeah.
So I would say that was definitely the turning point.
So do I. So what it was everybody, just so you all know, we were down by 11 after nine holes. And Max had not been winning tournaments, and we were playing mainly against professional golfers and their kids. And so, you know, you got these guys out there matching uniforms, great golf clubs. You're looking like a ragamuffin. We're still switching. Is he left or right-handed? We're pretty sure now you were right-handed.
Yeah, we weren't even sure at the time.
We're still not sure. What do? You eat left-handed, don't you?
Yeah,
you write
left-handed,
but you golf right-handed. Like, who knows? You're a zoo, right? So so he was 11 behind, and one of the dads made a comment that I didn't like. For years, I used to tell Max, hey, let's just go have fun. And we wouldn't even, at the end of the day, he was losing so much, we wouldn't even talk about a score afterwards. After a while, we get home, mom, he said, did you have fun? Yes, I had fun. We didn't talk about what, because we knew he wasn't going to win. And we, I kept telling him, you know, I'll love you. I can't love you more if you win. Remember, I used to say this.
Yeah, you used to say that.
I used to look at you, we'd get out of the car, I go, I can't love you more if you win, right? And I won't love you any less if you lose. So let's just go have fun. Which was really a wonderful sentiment, except what I was doing over time was teaching you it was okay not to compete.
Yeah.
It was okay to lose. And then you were down 11 after nine holes. This dad basically said, Max, go grab the other guy's lunch. You're out of it and you don't care.
Yeah.
And that did not resonate very well with me.
Someone actually said that.
Yeah. And I basically looked at the dude and said, what the F did you just say to my kid?
Pissed. Yeah.
Don't ever talk to my son like that way again. And I said, you guys go there. Max, stay with me. And I got down at your eye level and I said, we're going to F and win.
Yep.
We're going to win. And you're like, Daddy, what about having fun? And I go, I never forget this. I looked at you. It's in my book. I go, winning is more fun than fun is fun. You understand me? We're going to have some fun, but we're going to win. Yeah. And you listen to me. I'm going to tell you what club to hit. No practice swings. You hit this thing right where I tell you. And you're like, you kind of did this walk that you don't even remember you had, but your shoulders were kind of hunched over. And I watched my little precious son walk over to this tee box. I had to get the lunches. And you hit a good drive. And I kind of watched you kind of sit up. And I got over there and I grabbed your shoulder. I said, that felt good, didn't it? You go, yeah, Daddy, it felt good, Dad. And then we started to walk down the fairway, and I noticed you walking a little different.
Yeah.
Your shoulders were a little bit more back, and the next shot was an 8-iron. There was a lake, and I said, Max, hit this sucker 10 feet left of the pin. Hit your 8-iron on there. And you got up and hit about 20 feet left of the pin, but it felt good, and you twirled the club.
Oh, and the
you handed it back to me. And now you're walking with your shoulders back to the hole. And you went to putt the ball, and I go, Max, line the putt up. These other guys line the putt up. You're like, I don't. So you like walked on both sides of the ball, pretending to know what it did.
I had no clue what I was doing.
Right? And I have no idea which way the putt breaks. And you go, Daddy, I think it's like 2 feet left or right downhill. I'm like, that's exactly what it is, Max. And neither one of us have any idea.
No clue.
And you made the putt for a birdie. And then you were down 9 with 8 holes to go. And if we fast forward all the way to the 18th hole, you ended up making a birdie on that hole to win the golf tournament. And we had never even finished anywhere but last.
That's crazy.
And, it was really last to first.
And we're screaming. There's this amazing picture of you. We'll put it up on the YouTube version of with your medal. And it changed things. You went on to win tons of tournaments in a row.
Yeah.
And then he went on to, you know, get a college golf scholarship. And now he's played in a couple professional tournaments. And that one day changed your life.
Yeah.
And I say this in the book all the time. You're one moment away from changing your life, one decision, right? One shift, one thought, you know, one new relationship away from totally changing your life. And that totally changed you. That doesn't mean you're going to play pro golf or be a neurosurgeon or whatever, but the,
but
you learned about winning that day. You learned about competing that day, you know, and it was, I think, the most significant day in your life.
Yeah.
And it was a big day for me too. Cause I want to just, you know, it's easy. You want our kids to be happy and all that. I didn't want to be that dad, you know, that soccer or football dad. It's like my kid's going to the NFL it's or like, probably not, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but it corrected that day. So that was a really, really special day. And in Boo, in your case, I'm just curious, like, and I know Max, I'll ask you some stuff too. I want to make sure I do that, but who are a couple role models for you, Boo? People that you look up to?
Definitely you.
Thank you.
Obviously, you're a great role model. Definitely mom too. With mom, just seeing how she treats people and cares about people. Even Max, like he's a great example of like someone who's just growing up to be a better person. Yeah, for
sure. I'll take that one. Thank you.
For sure. And I think just like my really close friends that I've chosen, like Parker. he's such a good kid. He's great. He's gone through a lot, and he's one of like the strongest, most mature, like intelligent people I know. Rachel, same thing with her.
So you're mostly
my close circle. Yeah, they're all people I look up to.
What about you?
100%. I want to go back really quick to the close circle thing. A lot of people don't know about Bella and I is a lot of our close friends have been through like a lot of hard times, and I feel like that is another one of the things that's really built us up. I could say like. We'll take Parker for an example. He's had some family struggles. His family's been doing better. His mom's great. Our mom's great as well. So it's kind of good to compare. But when you go through and you see friends go through that, you can kind of take a little bit of part of them. You always talk about your circle, like Bella just said, and you kind of become very similar to what your circle is.
Yeah,
that's one thing
sure.
I feel like we've learned for you. But to get back to you, obviously you and mom have been great role models. You set an example basically for both Bella and I on like what hard work looks like, how to succeed, how to be a good dad for me and
thank you.
Mom, how to be a good mom for Boo. Obviously, I mean, for you and me, we both know this. I'm a huge Patriots fan and get it from you. So growing up, Tom Brady was my favorite athlete and it was still not close, even though he's with Tampa still. But Tom Brady, I looked up to him for winning. Kind of just like with you and him as an example, like seeing how you guys would won. You don't always succeed all the time. You succeed more than you fail, I would say. But how you pick yourself up from failing as well. And I've kind of learned a lot of that too. just even in pressure situations, just kind of seeing how to behave and how to recover.
Yeah.
And that's something I always want to ask you too more is like, what do you react in times where you don't succeed? What do you learn from it? And like, how do you kind of reflect back on that?
Well, good question. By the way, it's nice that you've been around Tommy too, and that you've met him and had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, got to meet him once, which was pretty sweet.
From our club, yeah. You know, losing for me is hard. I don't enjoy it and I don't look forward to doing it. I've been pretty good though. I feel like I really like learning, you know, and I'm pretty good at not making the same mistake twice. So if I've been under pressure and I've made a mistake, right, I think that I go, okay, that's a lesson for me. And I won't repeat that again. Cause a lot of things in life are not just about what to do, but what not to do. And for me, the big thing under pressure is for most people, things speed up. If it's a sales call that I've missed before, like I really needed to make a sale, right? Or playing in a golf tournament and I've had a shot I got to hit, things start to speed up. Mm-hmm. And when things start to speed up, every part of you inside speeds up, including your breathing. And so for me, like a major thing I've learned is to control my breathing. Like I think whatever you do with your body when pressure hits, even like if it's a podcast, someone like this or a speech I've got to give them, trying to slow things down, right? Most people try to get amped up. Getting amped up is really easy to do under pressure, but can you slow things down? I think that's, you know, quite frankly, one of the things that the Patriots do better than most teams over the years is that they're able to control things and slow things down. It's not all emotionally driven all the time, that they're process driven. So I think if you looked at Tiger Woods' heart rate under a big putt compared to an amateur or average player, his heart rate's lower. Yeah. He's able to slow things down. So it's a matter of slow things down for me under pressure and just learning. I don't want to fail, believe me, but I think it's about learning from the failures that you have. And I think I've done a pretty good job of that. Let me ask you guys this. There's some questions from the audience.
Okay.
So let's go through a couple of these. I think people would be interested to hear this. Of all the things that Ed has taught his kids, what do each of them think is the single most valuable lesson they've learned at this stage in their lives?
Okay, can I go? I think I know why. I think mine is more like you literally just have to keep trying at certain things. Like, you cannot give up. You just can't do it. Mm. And, like, I mean, I've, like, with, like, jobs and stuff, you've always told me, just keep trying. Like,
well, how'd you get the job that you had, the last job you had? Tell them how that happened. It's in the book, but how did it happen? It's a pretty good story.
I went into BJ's, and they were like, sorry, you're not old enough. So then,
That's a pizza place, by the way. BJ's Pizza.
Right. And then I didn't have a car, so I was like waiting for my ride home, and I was like, I'm gonna go get like a chai tea at this bakery. And then I was just in there ordering. I was like, do you guys have any job applications? And then they were like, I talked to some people and they were like, yeah, like you can start tomorrow. And then I got that job and it was great, and that like felt really good too, because you told me to like keep trying. And like, probably if you didn't say that, I would not have been like, oh, do you guys have a job application?
Right.
So then after, it felt super good. And I was like, oh my God, like I finally got a job because I kept trying. So I think for me, that was probably one of the most important lessons and like throughout my life too.
Yeah. You know, one more try, that's in the book. But one of the things that you have, I don't know that Max and I both have it, but you have it. I don't think you're quite as concerned with everybody thinks about you.
I am.
Do you think that's true about Bella? Like, I think one of your superpowers is, and this is what everybody should steal in their kids. Like, I think you're willing to get laughed at. You're willing to make a mistake. Yeah. You know, you're willing to go, I don't really know, and who cares? Screw you. I'm going to do it anyway, right? You do have that.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has a little bit of like, you care kind of, and you should a little bit care about what people think of you. But right. I mean, I think I have it in a positive sense of like,
what do you think that's from? Do you think it's because you know that like do you think it's that? I've never even thought about it till we're talking about, but this is like good stuff for people to listen to. And for me, do you think it's because you like, you know, we're going to love you no matter what, you can come back to a loving family.
Yeah. I think honestly, it's like, even when I was little, like when I was a babe, like when after my like shy stage, I was kind of like a little obnoxious kid, like screaming, wearing whatever I want. Like I would wear some weird stuff, like I would act kind of weird and like screaming, but like, you guys were always like, I mean, obviously you'd put me in check if I was being like super obnoxious, but you guys kind of were just like, let her be her, like let her do what she has to do. Like if I'm wearing something weird, let her wear it. Or if it's like, I don't know, I grew up kind of not like doing whatever I want, but I was able to kind of be myself and figure it out. And you guys were super supportive. So I think it like transferred into like me growing up kind of being more like, I don't care what people think, because like, if I know that like I'm loved by my family and like I'm still doing good, that it doesn't really matter.
Really good. And that's like a conscious thing that your mom and I did with both of you, is like, let you be you, not like be a good girl or conform to this or that. Or it was not something we wanted you to behave, but it was really not trying to suppress your personality or your expression of yourself.
I think that was like the most important thing that you guys did that made me like how I am. Cause like I was a little bit weird when I was little, like
you're still weird.
Yeah, super. But like, you know what I mean? Like certain benefits, like mom has talked about it. Like, what do we, like you guys at one point were kind of like, do we like tone her down? Mm-hmm. Do we like, what do we do? And you kind of decided just to let me be myself. I think that's super important.
Yeah.
Definitely want to do that with my kid.
Yeah. I love that part about you. I love a lot about you, but that's one of the things I love the most. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely on the money what Bella said. I would say the most I've learned from you specifically is being able to kind of control the things that you can. Like when you just mentioned your breathing, like if you're in a pressure situation, like let's just say the golf tournament we were in, I don't know if you remember this exactly, but when we're talking about that 18th tee shot.
Yeah.
So it was Palm Springs. It's like 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
I take a practice swing and the club slips out of my hand and it goes in the water.
That's right.
What?
Remember that?
Let's make sure everybody hears this. The day that he came back and won that golf tournament, on the 18th hole, he was sweating.
Yeah.
And he takes a practice swing and the driver flies out of his hand and lands in a lake.
And this thing went far too.
Did you have like another driver?
He did not. No, he did not. He couldn't hit his driver. Yeah. By the way, did we ever get that club back? I don't think we
never got it back.
He literally has the club flying to lake on the most important shot of his life.
Yeah, as a kid, important shot. And one of the things that we did after is I was like in shock because I'm so nervous on this tee shot. I finally have a chance to win. And you're laughing hysterically.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you get me in, you're laughing, you calm me down. And he's like, all right, you got all the jitters out now. Mm-hmm. Now just go have fun.
So that was a biggie.
So that was a big thing for me, is being able to kind of just control the things that you can.
Very good.
Like kind of control yourself. You can't control always your external environment, but you can control yourself.
Really good. Yeah. This is great for me to hear that you guys have got all this stuff. Because sometimes you wonder.
Well, we never sit down and like really talk about it.
Yeah, we don't. And that's important. I don't think you have to. I think things are caught, not taught. There's lessons. I'll go, Bella, this is why I think this way. You know that. I'll go, let me tell you what I'm thinking right now. Or we'll be watching something and I'll stop the TV and go, listen. Here's the lesson here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I do a lot of that. This is stuff that we take for granted that I don't think is normal. Like, my dad, well, first off, when I was growing up, there was no remote to do that, but that's how old I am. But, like, there are lots of times where I go, listen to me. This is important right here, what you're watching, or watch this speech this person gave, or listen to this thing they said, or read this book, or whatever. So, I do that, but it's not stuff where we sit down and consciously go, okay, control your breathing. It's not necessarily true. We don't really do that stuff. So, there's another question from the audience. What is one thing the public would be surprised to learn about each one of you or me that they might not know?
I have one about Dad.
Okay.
I mean, you're on social media. You're very like out there talking a lot, like you have a podcast. And like, I will say within the last few years, you are a lot more like social and do more things, but like, he is super introverted, low-key.
Right.
Like, he loves to be home. Like, growing up, we'd go to Idaho every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and once we got, like, our actual house, we weren't living, like, in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, like, let's go out to dinner. Like, I want to go so we could go to the club so I could, like, see my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, every single night, it was like, we'd rather just stay inside and watch a movie. Like, Dad doesn't want to go talk to people.
Right.
Like, I mean, and obviously you love people, but, like, I think it's, I don't know, I don't think people would expect that you, like being just like home under a blanket. Like,
yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't think most people would know how introverted I am. And you're not really introverted.
No, I'm super extroverted.
You didn't get that. You're super.
I did not. But I mean, I would have never, you'd see your social media, you'd never be like, this guy does not want to talk to people.
Yeah, you're
right. The public speaker. You're supposed to be the one that's always talking to people. But kind of when you get back, you're basically just like watch a movie. Like every summer in Idaho, we could go to the like a golf course, have dinner, or just like a local restaurant. You're like, no, let's go watch Grown Ups for the 50th time.
Yeah, we did. We did a lot of that. Anything from you that you would say that you've learned?
Max, you should talk about your food reviews that people don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So we talk about this too. So, I mean, I'll say it's with other people that make me not look as bad on the podcast. Like, you're part of it. We got mom part of it, a couple of our friends, but
it's basically all her.
It's mostly me and a couple other people, just to throw it out there. But I have a list of things. So if you ever watch Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy, he has a thing where he goes and reviews pizzas and gives like these very specific ratings.
Yes.
So I was like, I thought it'd be funny just to do it with like all food.
Yep.
And it's kind of grown into a bad obsession.
Yeah.
Where like
it's huge.
Where I have over 150 places rated on my phone now.
Yeah, you're nuts. And like when we go eat places, immediately he's like, this is an 8.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly what you give it.
It's like an 8.2 or like 7.6 or something.
Yeah.
This is very specific. Yeah.
What, that's super interesting to me for both of you that like those would be a couple of your takeaways about, you know, our family and whatnot in your own lives. So it says, have you ever seen your dad be unsuccessful in something? If so, how did he react? What has he taught you about the importance of failure? Either one of you want to answer that one?
I could kind of answer this. I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know how many things I've seen you not be successful at. Like you've done very well in certain things, but like, for example, like if something doesn't go well in a day or like you have business trouble, it's like, you're very on it. Like you're like, if something, okay, this is one thing about you. If there is an issue, you have to fix it
immediately.
Yeah. Like if the TV remote won't work and we're watching TV in the other room, you're like, nope, we have to fix it right now. Like let's call the guy. But I think you're very like on top of it and like you're quick to get the problem solved, which sometimes like growing up, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of annoying. Like, can we just watch TV? Like, why do we have to fix the other one right now? Cause we're not using it. But it's like, it's really interesting because like when I'm going to have troubles in life, like I want to be able to like put my attention on it, fix it and be able to move on.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, pushing it off, letting it last, like fix it another day. Like you're very,
that's really good.
On top of it.
I do think you're right. I think when problems come up in life, I try to fix them really quickly. I attack them. Like, I think that's actually a word I would use. I attack the problem. Like I will kitchen sink that sucker. I'm going to eliminate, obliterate the problem.
I'm pretty sure you get that from Gump. I think he was the first one.
You think I get that? So Gump, you guys, was my dad, or is my dad, who passed away, which really leads into something good. I did get that from my dad. I'll let you answer that question, Max, and then you can tag onto that. You know, what did you learn or what do you miss about Gump?
Well, I'll say first to answer the part where we're kind of talking about like how you do in like a failure situation or something that doesn't go entirely your way. Like, I mean, I won't go into it, but you had a situation recently. And what I saw how you behaved is kind of like Bella said, one, that you were like right on it. But two is like, if it's a serious situation, you went and checked in on other people. You went and make sure that everyone's okay. And then if something happens, you can kind of reflect back on it, see what could have been improved. And then you make sure that's a building block towards the next thing.
Okay.
But going back to it, was, I think you said it was like, what did I learn from Gump?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things. And one of them too is kind of, if you have a plan and if you have a specific goal, stick to it. Like, I mean, you've talked a lot about Gump in your book, and there's a lot, like, he was sober for, I don't even know how many years, an incredibly 35 years, an incredibly long time. And he stuck with that. It was just one more day.
Yeah.
And he kept sticking with his plan for one more day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I always have good memories of Gump. I mean, I remember when he passed and we went into like a service for him, like a celebration of life. And one of the things I said when I actually spoke about Gump was a tournament that I went to.
Yeah.
Because Gump was there for everybody.
Yeah.
When the last, he was battling cancer, was super sick, couldn't really get out of bed.
Yeah.
And then you told him, or you told Dub, which was your mom.
Which is my mom.
Yeah. Like, oh, Max has a tournament in Diamond Bar. And he was like, really? And he was like, yeah. And I texted Gump the day before and he's there.
Yeah.
Battling cancer. This is like a super hilly course. Like, I don't even know if the course exists anymore. I think it shut down.
They're cutting it down. Hot, hot day too.
Yeah. Super hot day. And he walked the entire tournament.
Yep. Yeah. I left.
Yeah, you left after
After nine holes, and my dad, who's going through chemo and, you know, weighed nothing and could barely walk, stayed the whole day, put golf shoes on. Did you know that?
Yeah, he put golf shoes on.
He was wearing golf shoes and followed you through that whole 18 holes that day.
He had his white shirt on and his pants tucked up to his belly button.
Yeah.
And I actually won that tournament,
and
too.
And you did win that
on the last shot.
Yeah, I remember him calling me going, you need to get down here. Your son just won.
Yeah.
And, it was really, really an amazing memory.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really, really good. Who is the smartest family member? Book smart, and street smart.
Ooh.
There's always some conflict when we talk about this question.
I know. So I would say for street smart, it's between you two.
Me and Bella. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Okay, yeah. I'll take
it. But then we always leave me out of the book smart, and I'm kind of like, hey, let's put me back in the race.
Yeah, I was going to say
she did get a higher ACT score.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
That is true.
Yep.
But
I mean, like, I'll be able to accept Max is extremely smart and intelligent with school stuff. Like, honestly, I'll give it to you.
So if you were to rank intellect, be honest, too. Intellect.
Well, you can't leave mom out of it.
I know, so keep mom in it. So intellect, be honest, it's okay. I would rank it. Let me tell you what my rankings would be.
What is intellect? Is that
we're
like
talking like IQ test?
We've taken IQ tests, right?
Okay.
I don't think most people would know this. So we've taken IQ tests. I'm fourth, right? But if you're just ranking, what would you say in our family?
Well, if we're going on pure IQ tests.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your ranking?
Honestly, well, I hate to say it, but okay, well, I can see mom in the corner saying that she's number one.
Yeah. But like, their mom's here today, by the way. Christiana's here.
She's in the corner.
Yeah, I can see her in the corner saying, like, I'm one. But I think if you're going on an IQ test, I mean, you said you're fourth, but you're a different type of smart beyond an IQ test, I would say.
Okay.
But I think Boo and I would be very, very close if we took an IQ test again right now. Mom would be right there too, but the only reason I'm dropping her off to 12 to laugh at this is that she can't spell to save her life.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I'd probably go Max, mom, me, than you. But me and you, like, kind of tied. I mean, I don't know.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know which one of you is smarter. Okay, lessons learned. Let's go through some lessons learned. Let's go through some real stuff right here. And I want you to answer some hard things, not like the fluffy stuff about our family. I want you to be honest about this because I know that it isn't easy. What has been difficult about having a dad who's so busy? I want the parents that are really busy to hear the good and the bad about this. And it's okay that you share the bad. Okay. So having a father who's just really, really busy, gone often, right?
Yeah.
Helping a lot of other people, putting his energy outside the house in addition to inside the house. So what's been good about having, what's the good and or the bad that comes with that? And be real about it. I want people to know so that maybe they don't make some of the mistakes I've made and some of the stuff I wish I could go back and do better.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I think that growing up, the first time I kind of realized, like, oh, I wish my dad was here a little bit more was like middle schoolish area. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'd be like, oh, shoot, wish dad was here for this or something. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I have to put it in the back of my mind where I'm like, I know my dad loves me so much that it is not a reflection of that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I think the part for me that made it really easy was because I know my dad is doing good for other people.
Wow.
And like, I was like, I'm so lucky and I'm growing up great and mom's doing great. It's like, I don't need you to be there every single second.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a little bit was like, sometimes you'd be like, when you are back, it's like, oh, we'll do this. Mm-hmm. I'm on a trip. And sometimes you'd be like, it's okay. Like, we can just like hang out or do whatever.
Yeah. I tried to over make up for time away.
That was literally for such a short time in our life. Cause I think right around high school time, you started being around a ton more. Mm-hmm. You were there for everything. We were going to, like, you were home all the time more. Mm-hmm. So I think for a little phase, but I think honestly, within the last few years, you've done a really good job of making a balance. Cause it's like, you do work, but it's like now when you're home, it's like, you're home, like, you're hanging out with us. Like, I think you do a really good job of it.
Thank you.
I think that for some parents who are super busy, it's important to just, like, when you are home and making time with your kids, to be super present, because that's like the most important thing.
Yeah, I think that's too. And by the way, I don't know that I've always done a perfect job of that, but I try to do that. Sometimes you get spread so thin, but I did try to be present when I was back. So what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, for you, and I think this could go for a lot of families, honestly, is one, that you were a successful dad, so you did set the bar there, but also you were incredibly hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of dads out there that are very hardworking, and you would be so dedicated to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what we were saying, like, if there's ever an issue, you get it done immediately. You were so committed to what you were doing, where it kind of, like you said, caught not taught. I think that's one of the things that Boo and I have been able to catch from you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I would say, if you're trying to go kind of like on an improvement thing, is sometimes when we were around, like, it's being fully present.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the work catches up and everything.
Yep.
You've done a really good job at it now.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, sometimes, like, if we're just doing like a normal thing, like, oh, someone texted me, I got to respond.
Yep.
Yeah. I got to take this call really quick.
Yep.
Is being fully present.
Yeah.
But what you've been able to do, which I think was a great thing that people should know, is because you were so hardworking and it paid off for us, you've allowed like Gump, mom, and all of our family to be just so great and so supportive.
Thank you.
And I don't think they could have done that without you.
Oh, wow.
They've been able to go to, like, I mean, you were able to go to them too, like, Little League games, but they were able to be there for everything.
Yeah. That's really wonderful to hear. And by the way, I appreciate you guys being honest. That's one of the things about, you know, being present. What have you learned about, or what do you both believe about money? Do you believe that money, you have to have money to be happy? Do you believe that it's overrated? What have I taught you about that, or your mom taught you about that? Like, the belief about money in general, because I think sometimes when people see a family with a lot of money, that you would think we talk about money a lot. I'm pretty sure we've literally never talked about getting rich or having money ever one time.
I don't think we've ever talked about it.
But what are your own beliefs from growing up around our family or in our family? You weren't around it, that about money. And what would you tell people about that?
I would say that money can be used as a tool to kind of just help the rest of your family. Like, kind of as I just mentioned right there, because you were so hardworking, mom was able to stay at home and be the great mom that she was to Boo and I.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were able to do with that is she can be there for everything.
Mm-hmm.
She, by you being able to work hard and make the money, she was able to be so supportive to Boo and I and to the rest of our family and a bunch of other people as mm-hmm. well.
It's important to know, by the way, that's what your mom wanted to do. If your mom yeah. wanted to have a career outside of the home, she could have done that yeah. as well, and we would have pulled that off. It was just she got her dream and I got mine.
Yeah, and she also helped you with your dream as well. Big at the time. Very beginning.
Absolutely. That's yeah. a great lesson. What would you say, Bella?
About money, I think it's totally not what you expect coming from our family. I don't view money as something that, like, I need to have a ton of in the rest of my life to be happy. I think that, you know, obviously money is a really cool thing that you can use to help other people. And I think that's what you do. Like, you help a lot of people. But also on the other side of it, I do want to be successful. And I, you know, I want to, like, it's kind of striving for greatness from, like, how the bar has been set. But I definitely don't think you need money to be happy. I don't think money's, like, the most important thing. And I don't think, like, we don't spend that much money. Like, we don't, you know what I mean? Like, we don't, like, grow up, like, getting crazy Christmas gifts or stuff. Like, we don't just spend money recklessly. And I think that's kind of something, too, is you're always, like, that's why I have money is because I've saved money. Right. And it's, like, yeah, I think it's super, like,
right
there. I want to save my money. Like, that's how I think I'm going to obtain the most money is by saving it. So.
Very good. I was waiting for one of you to say that.
Well, it's, like, you really do save money. Because, like, anytime you're, like, whoa, like, that's a cool boat. You'd be like, gotta save your money. And then if there's like something, it's like, well, this person just spent all this money on this. You're like, could have saved it for this. Or if I'd be like growing up and like, I'm going to go shopping. You'd be like, oh my God, like you could save your money for something better, which Max is probably better at than me.
You're both pretty good at it.
I've gotten better once I got a job.
You both have saved money.
Yeah.
You both are savers. And that's a really huge thing you just said, is that a family or a person has a culture of either spenders or savers. You're one or the other. Doesn't mean you never spend, but your default answer is, when you get money on your hands, do you save it or do you spend it? And I have really tried to emphasize that with you guys, because I think it's easy when you come from money to say money doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But when you grow up like I did with the lack of it, then you need it. And so I think the lack of money can be a real problem, but the abundance of it doesn't necessarily make you happy. Learning to save. I'm so glad you said that, because I think that's a huge breakthrough lesson. That's just stuff that you, in our family, you would get that most families, you don't. Save money, save money, save money, save money, no matter what you make, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems silly, but like, you've gone to Starbucks before. I'm like, what size coffee did you get? And that sounds like insane. It's like a 50 cent difference. It's about the process. It's about the mindset. It's like, I just saved 50 cents by getting the smaller coffee, or I made my coffee at home, or we don't have a million subscriptions to different things. Like,
it's
because it's just a waste of money. So were you going to add anything to that, Matt?
I was going
to
say one thing I did want to add to it. I mean, this is kind of getting in depth to it too, but if you do spend money, this is probably maybe one of the most important things I learned about from money, is you spend it on assets. You don't spend, like, let's say Starbucks is an example. You're not spending like an $8 coffee, or you're not buying some stupid thing that's going to depreciate. You buy something that you're going to use and get value out of it.
Really good.
And if you, like, say don't use it all the time, you could hypothetically just sell that and make a profit. Like, the watch you're wearing right now, you know I'm a big watch person. That watch appreciates in value. So if you wanted to ever sell that watch, you would make money on it.
Really
good. But you also use that all the time.
Well, you guys have learned more stuff than I realized. This is really, really good for me.
Here,
I'm very proud right now. This is really, really good. I don't know if anybody else is getting any interest out of this, but for me, it's like fascinating to know what are, you know, there's things that are just in our family that we think about that are, you know, normal everyday things that maybe aren't that normal. What about faith in our family? Like, you know, like, you guys know, I pray every night on my knees or whatever, like, you know, we're praying over meals or things like that. Did you... I mean, your grandfather baptized you, right? Mom's father baptized you. So do you think faith has become a part of each of you as you go off to college? You, Max, as a junior, you, Bella, as a freshman. Yeah. Like, what part of that about your life, either one of you?
Well, I would say for me is, one, for people who don't know, I go to a Christian college right now where religion is a really heavy aspect of it. Like, I'm going to get my minor in biblical studies as well at Arizona Christian in Glendale. And one of the things that we're taught is, like, you have to build a worldview around your faith. And honestly, whenever I think of that, the first person I think of is my grandma. So my mom's mom, she might be the most religious person I've ever met in my entire life. I think we can all agree to that. I see everybody laughing, but just, it kind of just been like a lifestyle that we've just grown up around. You've never forced religion on us too, because I feel like that's a thing people get sensitive about, especially since we're Christian. Is people think that Christians just love to Bible thump and push it down, but that's not how we were raised. Is it was around us, and we just had the opportunity to take advantage of it as we want. Like, we don't always, like, we'll pray at dinner, but we're not always like actively engaging in it together. Like, you kind of let us do our own thing with it. We decide to.
Really good. You can say anything?
Yeah. I think it's super cool that we grew up and like all our morals were faith based. There was faith kind of in every aspect of our life, but we were never the family that goes to church every Sunday and wakes up at like 9 a.m. and puts on, you know, our little church outfits and goes. But I think that it was really cool, because it was like we all just kind of have our own form of our faith. Like, for you, like, you get on your knees and pray every night. Like, we have our Bibles and stuff. But I think it was cool that, you know, we didn't have to go to church every single Sunday.
Yeah, it's really hard when you have, it sounds really bad, but when you have multiple homes, yeah, you know, when you live in multiple places, to become a part of a church is not easy.
Exactly. Yeah. That it wasn't really like the best thing for us. Like, it wouldn't, we didn't, we couldn't have one church that we went to. But I think that we did a good job of like keeping it around and like praying at almost every meal, like, just from, you know, and we talk about it too.
Yeah, all the time.
But I think it's kind of, we all have our own individual ways of it, and it's cool to kind of see each other do it.
Yeah. I'm real proud of you guys. This is so good. I hope this is good for everybody listening to it, just to pick up some tips and keys and stuff like that, and some insights too.
I hope so. There's one thing I want to add to it, kind of the religious thing that we were just talking about, is a lot of people probably don't know this, but what you would specifically do, which I've kind of picked up on, is you, since we can't go to church every Sunday because you're traveling all the time, one thing you did is you would just look up a sermon online.
Yeah.
From people you've even had on the show before. Like, you just go and watch them. Like, you always just try to find a way, even on Sundays, sometimes not even Sundays, just get that in your life.
Yeah. Can I add something kind of funny?
Yeah.
You would think that my dad listens to like a certain type of music, like, you know, his favorite, like Kings of Leon, but like in our house, literally almost 24/7, if my dad is getting ready for something, which happens a lot, there's full like Christian music blasting on like full volume in our speakers while he's showering, like, and getting ready, like, so loud. Like, he, you know, we all kind of have just like our own way of doing our thing, and that is one of your ways.
I love worship music.
Sure,
I
gotta tell you,
he loves it.
They're like, what do you work out to? Your AC/DC, your Kings of Leon? I'm like, yeah, 10% of the time, but I got a lot of Elevation Church on
Elevation
there too.
Worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Lecrae once or twice, maybe.
Yeah, I do. It's just a big deal. All right, lightning round, my lets. I am going to, everyone respond to their first thoughts come to your mind for each of the following. So I'm going to say something, and then you guys are going to tell me what comes to your mind when I say it.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Success.
You.
Wow. Same time too. Wow.
Okay. Daisy and Lily.
Annoying barking.
I think of barking all the time. Yeah.
Okay. I think of two of the loves of my life.
I thought you say Daisy on the couch.
Success to me is when your life vision matches what's actually happening. My friend, if you watch my social media, Richard Cabeza.
I gotta say food.
Yeah, food. Every time, if you're ever with Richard Cabeza, he brings food every single time. Okay, and he brings good food too.
He's just thoughtful.
Yeah, he's thoughtful. He's for the first time, thoughtful. I'm gonna reveal his real name, which is actually Kelly Gwynn. Richard Cabeza.
Shout out Kelly.
Those of you that might not know this, Richard is Dick in short for the word Richard is Dick, and Cabeza means head in Spanish. So you can put together why I call him Richard Cabeza. And I think of kindness and generosity. Yeah, he's just
a
kindest person. Very selfless person. Okay. When I say family.
Us? Like, I think of each other.
Yeah, I think of us, but the first thing that came to mind was Gump.
Was my grandfather. Yeah. Was it your grandfather?
Mm-hmm. I think of just like love and positivity, and like we always got each other's backs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The power of one more.
Best book ever.
I think of the impact it's made, the change on people's lives.
Wow. Yeah, I kind of think of Gump when I think of it too.
You do?
As well.
Yeah.
I love that he's so important in our family, you know, even though he's gone, and it's a beautiful thing. Favorite place to travel?
Coeur d'Alene.
Ouch. Okay. I love that place.
Probably Mexico. I love Cabo.
Yeah. The truth is,
honestly, Maine now too. Maine school. Once we got it all settled.
Yeah. The truth is, I think most people would be pretty surprised. We really have not traveled that much.
No.
Yeah. Like, you guys have never been to Europe.
No.
Anything like that. Like, rich families go to Paris.
Yeah, Mexico. We've only been to Cabo like a few times. I mean, our real traveling was just when we had a house in Idaho. So we'd go there in summer. Yeah. But besides that, we've gone on like.
Yeah.
And like.
You've been to Hawaii a lot because of business trips.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all the financial trips. Okay. Real answer here. Instagram.
When I think of Instagram, I think of like me and my friends taking Instagram photos.
Good. I'm glad you didn't think of me.
I honestly think of you just saying max out to the camera.
Yeah, all the time in your life.
Well, it's because I edited your shows.
Okay.
So.
And what about love?
Family.
Family. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Well, you know what, you guys? I feel like we accomplished a lot together today.
I do too.
I think we did.
And too, I'm very proud of both of you. I love you so much. I'm proud of your mom for doing such an amazing job raising you. And I hope everybody enjoyed today. I hope it's one of those shows that maybe you just got a little insight. It's not one of these things where, you know, I got an author, a book on here, and we're pushing something. We just wanted to let you into our family and maybe some of the lessons that have been caught and not taught in our family. And also just finally to start to share with the world the people that I'm the most proud of, which are my children. So thank you for being here, Max.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're grateful to be here.
Yeah, you did a great job. I'm really proud of both of you. So,
yeah.
Hey, if you've got a family or people you care about or people that might want to know more about what some of the keys are to building a beautiful and wonderful family and some of the lessons, hopefully today helped with that. I just have a feeling this will be the most downloaded show we've ever had before.
Really?
Oh, yeah, really. For sure. No doubt about it.
I have a lot of bragging.
Tell your families you love them.
Yeah.
Tell your families you love them. All right. And we love your families as well. You guys make sure you tell them that. Want to say God bless you. Share today's show. Make sure you get The Power of One More, my
book.
Do
it.
Go get it. Good extra ones.
Amazon.
Amazon, wherever you can get books. And continue to max out your life. God bless you, everybody.
This is The Ed Milet Show.